I found a Lose.com. This was not a list of Rotten Tomatoes, but a list of movies, the best Christmas movies of all time. So, let's have a little trivia here. Okay, I think Die Hard was 6 or 7.
What?
Well, what do you think was one of the top five? Elf?
Better be Elf.
A Christmas Story.
Christmas Story?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Christmas
Carol. White Christmas?
Miracle on
Home Alone, Christmas
Street.
Vacation, Miracle on 34th Street. Gremlins.
Yes, Danny.
Alvin and the Chipmunks. Okay, well, let's see what the type four was. Die Hard was on the list. I first heard about the list on the radio, and some people were surprised that Die Hard made the list, and there was some debate about whether Die Hard was a Christmas movie or not, but it was officially on the list. It was not in the top five, though. Number five was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It came out in 1967. Number four, The Shop Around the Corner from 1940. Number three, Holiday Inn, 1942. Number two on the list, Miracle on 34th Street, 1947. And number one, It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. I'm not sure, but I heard about it on the radio just a few days ago, and then 1958. Oh, okay. No, there were more recent movies on the list. But I heard about it on the radio just recently, and then I looked it up online, but I didn't check the date on it. Notice that these are rather dated movies. One is from 1940. And let's see. My parents were born in the early 40s. So that was a little bit ago. The most recent one of the list is from 1967, which is slightly more recent. So that's one thing I noticed about these movies, is that apparently the best Christmas movies of all time are old movies. Of course, they've been around long enough to build a group of fans, right? This fandom. But something else I noticed about this list of movies is that some of them I would need to read about or watch again or watch for the first time, but they don't seem to be much about Jesus. So these movies tell us some good stories that apparently people like and return to over and over again. And maybe these stories even bring some kind of joy, maybe some hope, maybe even some love or peace, but not like the story of Jesus does. We're in this series called The Star, A Journey to Christmas. And the series title comes from the story of Magi in Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 12. Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly, Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So the title for the series comes from this story of the star and the Magi. And this message this morning is about joy, which we see in verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Not just because of the kind of star it was or because of what the star was doing, but because of what the star symbolized and pointed to. We also find joy in a story about shepherds in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we find this story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Look at verse 10 again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And this morning we've already talked about joy some. We have sung about joy. And we've been thinking about this good news about Jesus, this good news that brings great joy. And so I want to open this up for just a little bit. Hopefully a couple of you feel like sharing some thoughts or feelings in response to this question: how does the good news of Jesus bring joy to you? In what way has the good news about Jesus brought great joy to your life?
Savior came to erase my sins.
Okay.
And, to know that heaven's going to be my home.
Right. So the Savior came to erase your sins, and you know that heaven will be your home. Good.
It gives me great joy to know that I don't have to stand on my own and make my own way, because I'm a mess, and I mess up all the time. And it's a great joy that's just wiped clean.
Right. So there's so Barry has this joy that he no longer has to rely only on himself, but He has strength from above, strength from God to guide him, right? Yeah, so there's joy in knowing that Jesus knows what we experience as humans. Thank you, Gary. So just thinking about the love that God has shown brings you joy and peace. Good. Thanks, Charles. But you can keep thinking about that question the rest of the day, the week, the season. How has good news brought great joy to you? This morning I want to make three observations about the two stories that we've read, and then also the song, the story and song about Mary in Luke chapter 1, where Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. The first observation about these stories is from the story about the shepherds, and the angel announces good news, right? Announces good news that would bring great joy for all people. So the angels, the good news brought great joy to the angel, and the angel announced it. And the shepherds, the good news brought great joy to the shepherds. And the shepherds responded to that joy by going to where Jesus was and even telling other people about Jesus. And the good news brought great joy to Mary, and she broke out in song. So there are different ways of responding to this great joy, and we'll come back to those observations in a little bit. But three observations are the good news brought great joy to the angel, and the angel announced it. The good news brought great joy to the shepherds, and the shepherds responded. And the good news brought great joy to Mary, and she broke out in song. But I have a couple of questions to help us explore this a little bit. First, what is the good news that brings great joy? What is the good news? There are different ways of answering this, and one way of answering it is that the good news is the message of Jesus' birth. That's what the good news specifically was in this story, right? The good news was the message about Jesus' birth. So it's God in the flesh, love embodied, Savior of the world, hope of salvation. There are other ways that we can think about this message about Jesus' birth. Second, good news also can be the message about his life, the life and teachings of Jesus. And at the core of the life and teachings of Jesus is the kingdom of God. Specifically, that the kingdom of God is a way of life in which we submit to God's reign in this world, and we participate in the transformation and the healing that God is doing in the world, that salvation, and that we live lives characterized by traits of Jesus. And we're talking about four of those specifically in this series: hope, love, joy, and peace. So the good news is the message about Jesus' birth. It's also the message about his life and teachings. It's also the message of his crucifixion. And when we think about Jesus giving up his life on the cross for the world, we find an other-centeredness. And Philippians 2 makes that very clear for us. This Jesus was focused on others. And we also should focus on others instead of self, instead of just self. And so it's a life in which we give up worship of self for something that's so much bigger than ourselves. Right? We worship God and serve God, and that includes serving others instead of thinking primarily about self. Now, we don't want to go too extreme where we are, you know, mistreating ourselves or thinking too lowly of ourselves. Then, I mean, we have to remember that we are God's creations. But so I am a creation of God, which makes me special, important, valuable. But I need to think about loving and serving my fellow creations of God instead of just what I can get out of life. So we have the good news, which is a God in the flesh, kingdom of God, and this other centeredness that's at the core of the Christian life. So that's the good. That's good news. All of that is good news. How can that bring joy? How does it bring great joy to all people? Well, the joy is in change. Jesus coming into the world changed history. And if you were here for very many of our Mark messages that ended just a few weeks ago, you might remember the gospel of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Mark and how Jesus' life and teachings sort of turned the world upside down. Change happened when Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world. And that change still happens in our lives. And we get joy from that change. When we experience change from pessimism to hope, or change from hatred to love, from oppression to justice, from sin to righteousness, from self-centeredness to other-centeredness, from self-worship to God worship, we experience joy. And that joy bubbles up inside of us, and life is better. Now, that doesn't mean that we feel like everything is perfect all the time. It doesn't mean that we're ecstatically happy all the time. But there is this deep inner joy, contentment, peace, whatever you want to call it, that makes life better regardless of the circumstances. Let's go back to the three observations for a little bit. The good news brought joy to an angel, and the angel announced it. The good news brought joy to shepherds, and they responded. The good news brought joy to Mary, and she broke out in song. There's a response here. They all responded in some way to this joy. When the good news transforms our lives, we tell people about it, like the angel did. When good news transforms our lives, we respond like the shepherds did. When good news transforms our lives, we break out in song like Mary did. When the good news changes our lives, we do something. We do something. And something is in common with all three of the observations that I've shared. In the telling, in the responding, and in the singing, there's worship. Joy in the transformation that God is doing in the world and in our lives, that joy leads to worship. It leads to worship. That's the response. Mary's song was worship, right? The shepherds responded by worshiping baby Jesus. After the angel's announcement, a heavenly host praised God. They sang praises to God. Our response is worship. So the change that God is doing in the world through Jesus and the world and in our lives and in our relationships, that change, that transformation brings about this deep abiding joy that leads to a response. And we can talk about that response in many ways, but one way is worship. We sing praises to God. In this Advent season, we hear the good news again. And we respond with worship. We praise God when we come together here like this on Sunday mornings. We praise God when we gather in growth groups. We praise God when we treat people in selfless ways. We praise God when we let the Holy Spirit guide how we work and play and learn and love. Christmas movies tell many stories. And maybe we like these stories. Maybe we tell people about these stories. Maybe we encourage our friends to watch them. But the best story of all time is not about Santa or the Grinch. The best story of all time is about a baby in a manger. And that story brings change to the world and to our lives. And that change develops this joy in us that bursts forth in response. And today we respond by singing praises to God. And if you need to respond in prayer or in some other way, I and maybe another of our church leaders will be in the back to listen to you, talk with you, pray for you, whatever you need this morning.